One thing, push the lever over there. That's good. Okay. Oh. Well, hey, good morning. Yes, good morning, church. So one of the nice things about being the teacher at Baker's Gate is by the time it rolls around for the message, you already sort of feel like you've really been at church. There's just lots of good stuff, lots of good interaction, lots of expressions of the Spirit, and you feel like you've had a good meal by the time it rolls around, which is good also because you often don't have a lot of time left when you're the teacher, when you teach at Baker's Gate, which may be fine today. So I just want to share my communion thought as Scott led us in communion. I really like that. And I thought, you know, probably one of the unnerving things about Jesus is if you were with him, you know, in person, is I'll bet Jesus was always looking for eye contact. I bet you always felt like he is talking to me. Because, of course, that would be God's orientation. I'm connecting with you. And we do such a bad job of connecting. I'm terrible at connecting. But that would have been what Jesus was all about. And you would have felt like if you were with him, that's what he was after. So I've got just a whole variety of thoughts. I had a great sermon Tuesday morning in my prayer time for y'all. I had a different great sermon for you Thursday morning. And this morning I got a jumble of a few thoughts and a PowerPoint with an illustration. But I trust that God will have some thoughts there for us. So I was really actually just encouraged by Pat's teaching last Sunday, which I got to listen to on tape. And so we'll just share some thoughts that relate to all that here for a few minutes and trust that God's going to give us something to take home. So, Lord Jesus, I do thank you that you're here. In one sense, you showed up to look all of us in the eye. You showed up to make that personal contact. That's what you want. And so often, as with one another, so we do with you. We just sort of kind of want to be in the same general area with you, just sort of kind of be here. But you're going, no, 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 I want to connect with you. And I pray, God, you get to do that with each of us, that we'd be willing to look up at you and look you in the eye and let you look back at us. And just let that connection happen. Thanks, that's what heaven is all about. We're going to fly away to a real good connection. And we're going to really, really enjoy it. So just pray, God, we'd experience that this morning. You have things you'd like to say to each one of us personally. You'd love to just grab us and share a thought with us. It's just for us. It's your word to us. I just pray, God, that we get that from you, that we'd have fellowship with you. And so just work that out, God, in the next 20 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, you know, maybe because it does sort of resonate with how I feel like I've experienced my Christian life, I just really appreciated Pat's thoughts about out of John. Maybe we should just read it here so we're not totally in the dark, especially if you weren't there. In 1 John chapter 2. Bible up here, but and if we look at it in the English Standard, he says, 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 12, he says, I'm writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I'm writing to you, children, because you know the Father. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you've known him who is from the beginning. writing to you young men, because you're strong. The word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the evil one. And that notion of the places in the Christian life where we're supposed to be of being a child and being a son, being a father, and then of course tying that in with Job, and I think all that is just so important, even just to lock in. I don't know all the thoughts that John had here, but I think those thoughts that Pat drew out, I think those are really critical ones for us. And I feel like over the last 40 years, this fall, I will have been following the Lord for 40 years. I've known the Lord for 40 years. I'm learning so much about these phases. And, of course, the first phase of the child is that place that it's really hard for us to start, actually. We more often start off in this place of what would fit in the category but wouldn't really genuinely be that of young men, of the doer. And we show up with God and we go, I'm the doer. I'm going to help God. I'm going to serve God. And I know that's for sure how I got saved. I was so excited. I got saved. Somebody handed me a mission. God wanted me to do something. And man, that's what I was wired for, doing stuff. And so God handed me what I knew about and about doing things, and I worked hard to serve him and honor him. But that is not where God starts with us. And I don't think you can be a true, in this category phrase here, young man, until you've been a child. And that's where it's really hard for us to start. Because actually, you know, being the young man thing, being the doer, every category of your life, even apart from God, that's what's asked of you. Be a doer, be a doer, be a doer. So, well, God wants me to be a doer. I know how to do that. So I jump in and I'm a doer for him like I am in all the other realms of my life. But the other two realms of being a child and being a father, the world doesn't bring that to us. We don't have that experience other places in the same way. And, of course, that notion of being a child means that I feel totally secure, loved, and safe in the presence of a real God who is there. And that is really a huge thing to believe. And even as I've been reading through the Old Testament this last this year, I'm doing the one-year chronological Bible, so I'm in the Old Testament. And I have just been struck by just how big God is. And we know all these things theologically, but God has really just made it clearer and clearer that God is infinite. God is absolutely infinite. And that's the God that you and I are invited to believe in. And I don't know how much you think about that, but I was thinking about that with Joseph, asking myself, do I really believe, I mean actually really believe, that God took this, you know, middle-born child out of this Hebrew nomad family, and there's a real nation called Egypt that was the greatest nation on earth, and God really actually circumstantially arranged things to put this little kid over the head of the entire Egyptian nation, and that really happened in my world. Do I really believe that? And I thought, I really believe that. God can do anything. The God I believe in could make Scott Freeman president in 4 years. Scott for president. How would that even happen? How would that even happen? And yet, you know, who knows how it would happen? Scott would end up in jail somehow, and that would lead to the presidency. And, you know, how did that work with Joseph? And yet, God, I actually believe that has really actually happened. That God just says, okay, I want this to happen. This is how I'm going to do it. He can do anything. And I got farther down in the end of Leviticus. There's the blessings and the curses. Hey, if you obey me, you know, your children are going to be healthy and your crops are going to be good and it's going to rain on time and your grapes are going to last this long. And you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. So God, no one's going to see your hand. You're not going to step in and, you know, we're going to see these magic hands come down and work with the grapes or help the women have children. But God says, I'm going to respond to you and the whole world is going to reflect and you're never going to see me, but I'm in charge of all of it. And then if you don't obey me, this bad thing's going to happen, this bad thing's going to happen, and your enemies are going to conquer you, and you're going to lose your battles, and your crops are going to fail, and all these things are going to go wrong, and you're never going to see his hand. He's just going to be doing all of it, and you're never going to see him. He is infinite. Do I believe that? Whoa, I do. I do. I believe in an infinite God. And I believe that God loves me. If he's infinite and he loves me, oh, I'm safe. Is that really true? And, you know, we're way too, I don't know what the right word is, but kind of black and white in the church. We go, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. Oh, no, 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 wait a minute. Do you know what you just said? First of all, you don't even understand most of the Bible. The things that you do understand, how deeply do you understand them? To say, I believe in an infinite God who loves me, that is lots of thinking, lots of processing, lots of convictions. There's many, many layers there. And I think growing as a Christian is going down through the layers of, ooh, okay, I really believe this. Now, no, I more fully understand it. I more fully believe it. Do you really, you say, I believe the Bible. Do you really believe there's an infinite God that loves you? That is a profound thing to say. But I think until I can say that in my heart and go, I believe it, I can't be a child. I can't be the child of 1 John chapter 2. But when I can go, whoa, okay, no matter what's going on, now, I'm pretty sure that, see, that what we want to say is, well, okay, so God loves me, that means nothing bad is ever going to happen. And that's partly where Pat walked us last week. But to be a child, I can't say that. When Joseph was in prison, he might have said, oh, wait a minute. And especially since God's sovereign and God makes every single thing happen. He's absolutely sovereign. So I'm in prison because God put me here. So either I'm bad or God's bad or somebody's bad because I'm in prison. And we have to back up and we have to believe that God will work good in our lives. And that's where I wanted to give you my little PowerPoint illustration. I think this catches something for me. And so, Cal, can we do slide one? And I don't have a clicker because God in his infinite sovereignty has it not working. There's it up there. Look at all this noise. Edgar, I don't think this is supposed to touch me. Anyway, okay. Okay, slide one. Okay. I'll see, isn't that clear? So we look at our life in discrete moments. And moment by moment goes by, and it's like it's a string of squares. And some of the squares are white, some of them are black, some of them are like everything's wonderful, everything's bad, everything's hard, and we kind of go from moment to moment. And we know that God is sovereign. God is sovereign. God's responsible for everything. And I'm in the middle of this really black square, this really black moment. And since I know God's sovereign, that means he made this black square. Oh, my goodness. So what I can think is, life is really hard for me right now. Did I do something wrong? Because God's sovereign, so he put me here. Or maybe God doesn't really pay attention to me. I always thought, you know, who am I? I'm just this little guy. God doesn't pay attention. I've rolled into this really hard thing in life, and God doesn't care. That was Job's thought, right? Hey, where's God? This isn't right. And we try to figure out what God's doing, or we try to measure God, or we try to measure ourselves by the place we are at right now. And that's what happened with Job. Hey, listen, life is hard for me. My kids have died. Everything's gone wrong. I'm sick. So somebody has made this black square happening for me, and it's not me, said Job. So God is responsible for this moment, and he needs to explain this moment to me. And all his friends said, Job, you're saying God's responsible for this black moment? That can't be, because he's good. So this black moment is your problem, Job. You caused this black moment. You're the one that made this. Own it, Job. Own it. Don't accuse God. And then God shows up and says, what in the world are you talking about dots for? I am way bigger than anything you can ever comprehend. Just trust me. In your life, do you believe there's an infinite God? He never runs out of patience. There's nothing in your life that's too small. There's nothing small to an infinite being, and there's nothing large to an infinite being. There is no size to an infinite being. He just is. There is no running out of patience with an infinite being. He just is. He is love. He just is love. Do you understand that? You never test his love. It can't be tested. You can't test the infinite. There is no way to confine it or bound it or limit it or end it. It just is. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. If God is infinite, you cannot change it. You cannot press it. You cannot test it. You cannot run it out. It just is. If he's not love, we're in trouble, because he will never be. He is what he is. He is infinite. Is he love? Does he love his people? Those who have relationally entered into a place with him, what is his mindset toward those people? Because whatever it is, it is. Are you one of his people? Are you one of his people? Is he infinite? Then what is his heart toward you? Can you own that? It's not about you. It is not about you. It is about what he is and who he is. Oh, but me, I'm like, well, forget it. It's not about you. It is about who and what he is. And as long as you think it has something to do with you, then you're going to qualify it based on yourself. It is not qualified based on you. It's qualified based on him. And he is infinite. I have a Father who is infinite, and what he is loving toward me. And that will never, ever change. It just is. And I can move into it in my sin. I can move into it anywhere. Like that verse that says, I can lean against him like a weaned child leans against his mother's breast. That's where God says, listen, unless you're converted and become like little children, you can't even enter the kingdom of God. You've got to go, this is what is. I rest in this. I rest in this. I rest in this. I have an infinite Father who created my spirit. He's the Father of your spirit, the Bible says. You have a spirit that's going to live forever. That spirit that is you, this is you. There's a you that's a spirit. And it says that he's the Father of your spirits. He made you. And that Father of your spirit will always delight in you, will always love you, because that's what he is. It's just what is. And when you own that, you can be a child. If you think it's about doing, if you start at that next place, when you start at that next place, your identity becomes defined by what you do. Well, I did pretty well. Well, I was committed. Well, I worked hard. Well, I was faithful. Well, I came through. Well, I accomplished it. And my identity isn't what I do. And God says, you're not a child. And you can't really be a son until when you're acting as a son, when you're laboring, when you're overcoming the evil one, when you're strong. Your identity is not in your strength, but your identity is in that foundation of you belong to an infinite God who loves you. You've got to be a child before you can be a young man. And that's why we've got to ask ourselves, how clear am I? Do I believe in an infinite God who is love and who's called me to be his people and who loves me? And you know, you read through the Old Testament and there's all these wild things, lightning and thunder and mountains that are smoking. And yet you get all the way to the end of the prophets. And you go, God, you're just a big softy. You just yearn for these people to come to you. And you act big, but you're just yearning for connection. You want us, and you want me. That's who you are. Now we can reject him, and we can turn away, and we can become those who are not his people. But for those who are his, he is only one thing. So how do we explain the black dots? And I have, my wife says, John, you always have three sermons. But I'll just end with this. So in your life, there's going to be things that are going to happen. And you're going to ask, what is going on here? Have I sinned? You know, like the disciple said to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? This man was born blind. Somebody's at fault here. This is a real black dot, God. This guy's been living this black dot for a long time. Somebody is responsible. And I want to throw out just a picture here that God is going to walk you through dots in your life, and none of these dots are going to give you the slightest clue about what's really going on. What do you think's going on right there? You got any idea what's going on? You're rolling through that life. One dot makes no sense with the dot that came before. You may be headed for disaster tomorrow. Maybe your old life's wonderful today. Tomorrow you're going to be in disaster. You go, what happened? God, did you stop paying attention to me? And then you roll through that for a while, and then things change. Let's just go to the next slide, Cal. Well, there's always these dots around you. You know, your life is part of a whole matrix. There's a lot going on around you that you have no clue about. And all that, go out one more, has its own context. And go out again. And finally, when we get done, keep clicking, you see that your little life is part of a picture that you would never, ever, 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 ever figure out by what you see around you. You absolutely, and your life is going to look a lot better than that. But looking at any single dot, could you ever, well, this dot, you know, it sort of looks like what it's going to be in a hole. No, it doesn't look at all like what it's going to be in the hole. You can't figure it out. Don't go, oh, I must have done something bad. This dot's really black. Well, no, you're just in the eyebrow. And I think God says, listen, walk through the dots as I lay them out in your life and do your best to walk in faith. Because somehow we do change the dots. God does respond to us based on what we do in the dots. But he says, walk through in faith. And when you're done, you are going to be absolutely amazed at what I gave you. As a matter of fact, I even wondered whether we could say, we're creating our life. I live this dot. And it's this one's a black one or a gray one. It's kind of hard, but I apply faith. Oh, I apply faith. And God says, okay, all right. So that dot now, you've made the dot I want you to make right there. And then I get to a white dot, and I'm thankful, and I'm happy, and I'm rejoicing in the Lord. He goes, oh, you did that dot right. And when I get to heaven, I am the life I lived. I make the picture through my faith choices. And when I'm living in this dot, I go, I don't get it at all, God. This makes absolutely no sense. I absolutely don't get it. God says, just apply faith. Just trust me. Just trust me. You're going to love this dot. Walk with me, John. Walk with me. Walk with me, John. you will not regret what this dot is part of. Can you and I, could we go to prison? I think about the movie Corrie Ten Boom, or The Hiding Place. It was Corrie Ten Boom. And, you know, it was her and her sister Betsy. And Corrie was the whiner. She was the complainer. And I don't know if she was like that just because she wrote the book and that's how she cast herself. But, you know, she was almost more the person who judged God by how the dot looked. God, the dot looks bad. Change the dot. And her sister said, you know, Corrie, there is no pit so deep that he is not yet deeper still. And she spoke as a child and as a father. She was on both ends of those. And in your life, how sure are you that God is sovereign? Oh, but I'm in prison. Hey, you know what? My God is sovereign. If he wants me out of here tomorrow, I'm out. I can't pay my rent. Well, that's a hard thing. That's a really challenging thing. But you know what? If my God wanted it, I'd be rich tomorrow. He is able. Well, I'm not healthy. Yeah. Oh, that is so hard. But I do know this. If my God wanted it different, it would be different tomorrow. He loves me, and he's able. And I rest. And I rest. Can we be a room of children that we believe in a really, really big, infinite God who made, he's the Father of our spirits, and he loves us, and he's infinite in all that he does. And when you're like that, then, you know, if I got to the other sermons, and we could look at how young men, and all of us are supposed to be young men, but I'd really love to talk to the men. We stand on that identity, and God says from there, on that identity, be strong. The only people that were told to do anything, and all of that, were the young men. You do things, and you overcome the evil one. And men, we were made to do things. All of us as believers are. On that identity as a son, Jesus stood on that identity as a child. And in that identity as a child, he said to this world, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. He was a son on the identity of a child. And at the cross and in many of the places, he had to walk in the knowledge of a father that Pat talked about last week. So how sure are you that you have an infinite father that loves you? That's real. It's not just your theology. It's not just your church story. But you go, for me, I believe that. I believe that. I believe that. I believe it for me. And you need to grow in that. You need to wash yourself in that. You need to renew that. You need to read the Bible and be reminded of that. You need to keep drilling it down, keep drilling it down. Because you need to first live as a child. And you should live that way. Because you are. Because you are. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you love us that way. This is all true. It's all true. We're going to get to heaven and go, what's all true? I think that's the most amazing thing when we get to heaven. We're just going to be so surprised. Well, this is all true. Man, my Father's infinite. And he does love me. And he looks me in the eye, and he's glad to see me. And I'm actually home, and it's all true. And now we see through a glass dimly, but then face to face. How amazing. So I just pray in our church, God, you'd help us grow as children. I thank you for all the labor of faith. There's so much labor in this church. There's so much of a willingness to bring our life. And yet we can struggle with, okay, who am I really myself? And I just pray that we just be like a weaned child against his mother's breast, because we know we have an infinite father who's offered us life in the gospel, and we've received it, and we are loved. And no matter what the dots look like, they're all part of a gift from our Father. In Jesus' name.